So anyway, let's do this. Today we're going to just conclude our current collection of talks, and it's called this collection of talks called The Forgotten God, and our go-to text is Acts chapter 19. If you have your Bible, you can open it. If not, I always provide the text on the screen for you, the passage. And today we're going to read from Acts 19. We've been doing this for like the last 3 weeks. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and I just want to pray right now. Father, just ask that you'd be in these moments. Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, I don't care where we've been before. I don't care our background of what tradition or what denomination we've been a part of. Lord, today we want to hear from your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd speak to us in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Let's look at this these two verses, verse 1 of Acts 19. It says, while Apollos was in Corinth, we're told that Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached a city called Ephesus, which was located on the coast, where Paul found several believers. This is very exciting. Christianity's new. They're finding out people are finding out about Jesus all over. And look what Paul does. He says, hey, folks, he's talking to the believers. He said, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them the question. Look at their response. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. I think that's very interesting because if you understand that passage, it was probably written over 2,000 years ago. But I have found out that it still could apply today in our culture. A lot of people, yes, we know about God the Father. We're cool with that. We understand Father. We understand God the Son, Jesus. We hear about Jesus all the time, which is very, very appropriate. We need to hear about the one who died and saved us from our sins. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's not as much talk about the Holy Spirit. And I think the reason why is because we're afraid. Because we identify the Holy Spirit with kind of weird things. So what we've done is we've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And I think that's very tragic because we're missing out on something very, 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 very. Everybody say very, so I can quit saying it. Very, it's like a broken record. Very, very special, okay? So what my goal in this whole series is I just want to just help people to have a greater understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. That's all we're trying to do in this series. Maybe you're being introduced for the first time. Maybe you need to be reintroduced. Maybe you need to hear more truth and understanding of the Holy Spirit. I'm not trying to force anyone to do anything. I'm just trying to introduce the Holy Spirit as we see the Holy Spirit in the Bible, in the scriptures, okay? So week one, I did my very best. I hope I was successful to answer this question, who is the Holy Spirit? And we discovered this. This is real important. If you weren't here in week one, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It's not an it. It's not some kind of mystical aura that flies around the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. So that's all I wanted you to get that week. The Holy Spirit's a person, okay? And the Holy Spirit's a person that you need to make sure you're living your Christian life with. You're in community. You're in fellowship because the Holy Spirit gives us power. Read Acts chapter 1. You will receive power. The Greek word there is dunamis. You're going to receive this dynamic power. And here's the deal. A lot of Christians are trying to be good Christians. They're trying to be good Christians, and they're trying to do it in their own power. It's not going to work. That's why people give up. They get frustrated. Some people bow out. They quit, say, this doesn't work. Well, because we're trying to do it without the power. And folks, I want to let you know we need the Holy Spirit, not on Sunday morning only. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that goes out with us every day of the week. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that goes to work with you. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that goes in your home and helps you to be a better husband. You know what I mean? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that makes me a better dad. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that makes me a better friend. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that lives in me that when he calls me to do it, I don't have to try to do it myself. He's going to give me the power. Does that sound interesting to you? And everybody said, give me more, right? Give me more. So here what we did in week two, I had my friend Chris Hodges with us. I was so grateful. He came via video, okay? And he talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Raise your hand if you were here that day, Chris Hodges. Isn't he amazing? Amazing guy. And here's my favorite line in his whole message. He said, being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me a better than you, because there's people out there that think, well, I have the Holy Spirit, so I'm better than other Christians. And I don't buy that. And what we say is, well, I have this manifestation. I have this gift that makes me superior. I don't see that in Scripture. We're not better. But look what he says. He says, it makes me better than me, meaning I need the Holy Spirit so that I can be all that God has called me to be. That's what Chris is after there. We need the Holy Spirit to be who God wants us to be. Excuse me, I'm getting choked up. So anyway, thank you for that. So that was really, really cool. So then last week we talked on this subject. We talked on the subject of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How many people are here for the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Yes. And I said three things. Number one, I said, hey, try to figure it out. Discover your gift. Pray about it. Ask somebody. Take a test. We had about 8 or 9 people this week in conversation via text, group text, that were trying to figure out their spiritual gifts. That's really cool. And we're going to talk about it in a meeting afterwards as we go back to our next class, which, by the way, will be available again in October. So free commercial. So anyway, find out what your gift is. Exercise the gift. Use it or lose it. I really believe that's true, not only of your physical muscles, but of your spiritual gift. You got to use it or you're going to lose it. And number three, always remember it's not about you. Your spiritual gift isn't for you to be glorified, for you, everybody look at you like you're some kind of Christian rock star. The whole gift of your idea of your spiritual gift is so you can help somebody else. I love the kingdom of God. When we put Jesus on our hearts, it's no longer about us. About us, it's about others. God wants us to be about others. Does everybody get that? God wants us to be about others, okay? So today what I want to do is we're going to talk about maybe a phrase that you've heard before, and it's called being filled with the Holy Spirit. Just show of hands. Has anybody heard that phrase before? Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Cool. And what we're going to do is I'm going to just share with you what that looks like. I'm going to share what it looks like in your life and share how we can receive that if we desire that, okay? So let's begin this morning. We're going to go to our text. Our text for this morning is Ephesians 5. You don't need to look for it, but if you want to get in your Bible, let's go together. Ephesians 5, we're going to look at verses 15 through 21. I love in my Bible, it gives a heading and it says, living by the Spirit's power. That's what we're after. We want to be people. I want to be a person that doesn't live just by my own power. I'm sick of just me. Is anybody else in the same boat with me? You're kind of just sick of doing it yourself. You want to do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Let's read. Okay, verse 15, Ephesians 5. Paul writes this. He's writing to Christians. You need to understand that. So he says, hey, be careful how you live. That's a mouthful. That's almost like what you want to tell your son before he goes off to college. Hey, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those people who are wise. Great counsel. Verse 16. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. It's almost like Paul saying, quit playing defense. Let's play some offense. Let's get after it. Let's get after God's work. Verse 17, everybody don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, because if you get drunk with wine, that's going to ruin your life. He said, here's something better. This is the best. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourself and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further submit, another word in some translations is serve. Serve one another out of reverence for Christ. What I want to do is I want to look at this verse one more time. I think it's verse 18. Paul says to these Christians, he says, hey, Christians, don't be drunk with wine, and he tells us why. He said, if you get drunk with wine, it's going to ruin your life. And I just want to say this. It's on my heart to say this morning. How many people know that God loves you so much that he doesn't want you to ruin your life? Amen? God doesn't want you to ruin your life. He has the best in store for you, so he gives you the alternative of being drunk. He says, hey, instead, why don't we try this for the better life? Let's be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? And if you were here last week, I touched on this very briefly, but I want to go just one step deeper with it this morning, and that is this Greek translation for this little phrase, be filled. I want everybody to hear this, so lean in. Take your back off the pew, lean in. I want you to hear this. The phrase in the Greek, be filled, is not a one-and-done thing. Does everybody hear that? It doesn't mean it happens once, that was your experience, that's all you need. But rather, when he says be filled in the Greek, it means it's an ongoing way of life. It involves repeatedly being filled. So when we're filled with the Spirit, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes? We were empty, but he comes and he fills our life. And we're commanded to be filled all the way up to the top. So this is really what God wants your life to look like. By the way, doesn't that look good? Can I take a drink of the Spirit this morning? But anyway, that's the command. Be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Be all the way up. Don't be just partially. I want you to be, Paul's saying, be completely filled. This is what I think of when I read that verse. I think of a gas station. We all have a car, and how many people know you fill up your car with gas? And then you drive it around, and how many people know you look at the gas needle, the gas gauge, and you see what? You see that it's empty, or it's getting close to empty. Some of you even have a noise, the ding, and it tells you how many miles to go, and you're thinking, wow, I still have 30 miles, but don't live that way, okay? And so what happens is you got to pull into a gas station when you're running low with gas so that you can be filled up. So think of it. We do it all the time. Some people more than others. You're running around. You're all over the place. You're driving all over the place. How many people know you need to pull into a gas station? And what you need to do is, because as you're driving around, you're getting low. And the same thing is about your life. As you're living life, how many people know the Holy Spirit's no different? There's times where we begin to dry up. I mean, just look at all the rain we had, all the snow we had this year, and we thought, wow, it would never dry up, and it didn't take long at all, did it? And what we were all doing, this morning I was out saying, Lord, thank you for the rain. This is wonderful. Why? Because we dry up, and it's the same thing in the spiritual realm, is that people get dried up, and they begin to need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. I want everybody to hear that this morning. And a lot of people aren't even aware that they're empty. And here's why, because some people aren't even aware they're empty because the truth is they don't know what being filled looks like. They've never been filled. Does that make sense? And that's how we live. And here's what Paul is saying. He's saying every day you need to come, and every day you need to have a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled up every day. How many people know the Holy Spirit can do this for you every day? Amen? Couple people up front are with me. How about the rest of you? Every day we can be filled with the Spirit. Every single day. It's an ongoing experience. And I tell you what, I've been a little sloppy in my walk with the Holy Spirit until we've recaptured this series of talks. And now I'm like every day, I'm just like opening in my arms and I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, you know what I'm facing today. You know it's bigger than me. I officiated a wedding yesterday, a couple hundred, 250 people, 250 people there, and I'm thinking, I don't want to get up and talk in front of these people. I'm nervous. And people think, oh, you do it all the time. It should be easy. No, it never gets easy. It gets easier. And in that back room, I was just praying, oh, Holy Spirit, fill me up again. I'm going to stand in front of people I have no idea who they are, and I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need your presence. I don't want to go out and stand in front of those people looking like this. But so many of us, we go about living our lives looking like this. And the Holy Spirit wants to come, and maybe you're here today, and that's what you are, spiritually speaking. That's what you have right now. And I just want to let you know the Holy Spirit wants to come. And he wants to fill you to overflowing, actually. And you know why the Holy Spirit wants to fill you to overflowing? So you can pour out on other people. See, we got to get over our minds that this is all about us. Yes, it is about us. Yes, God wants us to live in victory. But how many people know that God also wants you to be a person that he uses to touch and change the world? Are you hearing me this morning? And I want to let you know that's true of every single person. And it's not only true of clergy. It's not only true of board members. It's true of everybody. If you profess Christ as Lord, God has this great assignment just for you. It has your name. It has your DNA on it. And we're not going to get it done by might or by power, but it's only going to be by his Spirit. And then I love the rest of the text because Paul says, hey, if you're living this way, there's going to be evidence that you're living filled with the Spirit. So let's look at these real quick. I just want to quickly go through this. He says there's four evidences in this scripture that you're filled with the Spirit. You're living Spirit-filled. First evidence, he said, if you're living a Spirit-filled life, it's going to be expressed by you're going to have this desire to engage with other people. Meaning you're going to want to be with other believers. Look at the verse it says here. And I want you to look at the highlight. It says speaking to one another. One another is a big part of that. You're going to want to be with others. You're going to want to be in community. That's an indication of spirit, that you're spirit-filled, that you just love being with the body of Christ. See, Spirit-filled people don't live in isolation. We're not selfish people. We're a part of the body of Christ, and we need each other. I need you. You need me. Let's just put something to rest right here, right now, in this church. You come into church isn't only about what you're going to get. You come into church, you have a lot to offer the person you're sitting next to. You have a lot to offer the person sitting on the other side of the church. We need to get in this mindset. Spirit-filled people aren't all just about them. They're about, God, what can I do? I'm going to church today. The music better be good. Pastor Mike better have a decent sermon. How many people realize, you got to realize that God wants to use you today. Amen? God wants to use you this week. And so we need others, and that's the Spirit-filled life, that we want to just be involved. We talked last week about the gift. God gave you a gift. The gift isn't about you. The gift is about, what can I do to make somebody else's life better? What can I do to bring somebody else closer to Christ? What can I do? See, we're on the offense now. We're not just neutral. We're on the offense. We're going after it, okay? So like I said, this is going to be countercultural because the world is all about us. We want to make it about others. Second act of or evidence of being Spirit-filled is this. Right in the text, it says a Spirit-filled life is expressed in worship and in singing. Look at the verse here. I want to look at this verse. It's powerful. He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want to let you know a Spirit-filled life will result in worship. It's not going to be this lifeless religion. Lifeless religion. When we're filled with this Spirit, we're in this attitude of excitement. We're excited. We're not, please, let's never say this. We're going to stand and sing songs. I want to say something that's so much more important, that we're going to stand and worship in song. Amen? And there's a huge, huge difference. We need to understand this. You are not a body with a spirit. You're a spirit with a body. Big difference. You're primarily a spirit with a body. And I want to let you know, when you come into worship, what is happening as you make the sacrifice and you engage, what happens, I believe, is your spirit, when you're worshiping God, is connecting with God, because it says God is spirit. And when we're worshiping, we're engaging. God's doing something where our spirits are opening to God's spirit. And that's when God begins to move upon your life. Just a couple weeks ago, Noel and I took a trip down to Miami. And we were there to visit the school where he'll be attending here just in about 2 months. And so we went, they had a conference. It was called VU Conference. And I want to let you know, I thought it was going to be, I didn't know what to expect, but there were over 5,000 people there. They went to an auditorium on the campus of Miami, actually the basketball arena. And I didn't realize this, but believe it or not, I was one of the oldest people there. I was like maybe in the 5% oldest people. And everybody else, the majority of people were in their 20s. And I was like, oh, I feel out of place here. It's kind of weird. But I just loved it so much because I just stood in that stadium for a couple nights, 3 nights. And I watched these young people raising their hands and worshiping God. And it was almost like they were having this out-of-body experience. It was just so beautiful. Tears flowing down cheeks. People totally engaged. And it was what? Spirit-filled worship. And there was times that I would quit singing. I would just look around and I would say, God, this is incredible. Has anybody ever been in a service like that before? It was just so incredible. And people worshiping, these young people worshiping God in the Spirit. And I tell you what, it was at that moment I said, Lord, I am so grateful that my plan is different than your plan. Because my plan years ago probably wouldn't be Nolan going into that environment. But my plan today is, I said, Lord, thank you that my son is going to be able, that's going to be the culture now that he lives in, where people are engaged in worship. They're pouring out their hearts to God. They're getting closer to God. And I know that it was an extreme event that night. But can I speak to you gently this morning? Is that okay if I do that? Everybody say, yes, give it to us, yes. I just want to say this to us as a church. Please listen. I won't be much longer. I want us as a church to be growing in that area. I want us to be a church filled with worshipers, filled with the Spirit. I don't want us to be about singing songs. I want us about being about engaging in the presence of the Lord. Because, folks, I know we all come from hurtful lives and challenges throughout the week. And I want to let you know that David said these words in the psalm, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And if I could have one dream for our church, it wouldn't even have to do with anything about size or anything. It'd be about, Lord, could we be a church where people are filled with the Spirit, engaging in worship? And here's why. Because I know how much you would love it. I know how much you would love it. Right now, you would think I'm afraid of that, and I totally understand that. But there's something about when your spirit connects to God's spirit, and God begins to take care of some issues in your life, and he begins to bring healing to your marriage and to your relationships because you're meeting with him. That's the church that I want us to be, a church that's filled with the Spirit of God and people are engaged. I want us to be an encountering God church. Amen? Amen. Does anybody else want that this morning? All right, let's go then. Number three, a Spirit-filled church will look, or a Spirit-filled life will look like this. By the way, isn't that a great photo? I just love seeing people just giving it up for God, giving it up for God. Evidence number three is that a Spirit-filled life is expressed in a life of thankfulness. Look what Paul said, giving thanks. Everybody say giving thanks. Always, always, not just once in a while, always, meaning it's an attitude. We're giving thanks to God the Father in the name of I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm so excited, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So a person that's Spirit-filled is a person who's not complaining, not murmuring, not critical, not down on everything, because there's so many things to be down in our culture today. I agree, there is a lot to be down on. But a Spirit-filled life is a life where we say, Lord, thank you. Because we got to realize, look at this verse. James says, whatever's good in your life, whatever's perfect comes down to us from God the Father. We have so much to be thankful for. So I want to challenge you this day. Begin to count your blessings because we're so thankful. Because a Spirit-filled person is not always looking for more, not always chasing this dream that if I just need more, I need... No, let's start being thankful. That's what Spirit-filled life looks like. And here's the last one. A Spirit-filled life is expressed when you're serving others. He says this. He said, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. It's about serving. I told you it's going to be countercultural. The world is about you elevating yourself. The Spirit-filled life is about you serving others. The world is about elevation. The Spirit-filled life is about humbling yourself and bowing and say, who can I serve? Because look what it says about Jesus. It says, for even the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, he did not come to be served, but he came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So I just want to look at these in quick. In review, the evidence of a Spirit-filled life is one engages in others, engages in worship, engages in gratitude, and it engages in serving others. So we're going to conclude this series by looking at this big question, how? What are the steps? Mike, you've been talking about this Spirit-filled thing. You've been talking about the Holy Spirit, but how? What are some steps that you and I can take to be filled with the Spirit? First one, I didn't even put in my notes. The first step is you got to say yes to Jesus. That's where it all begins. You say yes to the grace of Christ, who died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sin and my sin for our sin. There's more. Here's a step you need to take. Everyone look at that. Write it down if you want. Remove the barriers. I'm going to look everyone in your eye. I would love to look everyone in their eye this morning and say this. God has more for you. Nolan, God has more for you. Sam, God has more for you. Cheryl, God has more for you. Aaron, Jeff, Nick, Dan, Olivia, everyone, I want to look in the mirror and say, Mike, God has more for you. There's more. But here's some things you have to do. There may be a barrier that's in the way. There may be a barrier in your life that's keeping you living your life like this. Let me share some barriers that I think a lot of people have in this room this morning. One may be pride. I don't want that. I've got this. That's the way I used to think, and I'm finding out I don't got nothing. Are you hearing me? Has anybody else reached that age yet? I ain't got nothing. I need all the help I can get. But there's some people that have pride, say, I can figure these things out. I can do it my way. You take on that Frank Sinatra approach. I'll do it my way. That may be a barrier that's keeping you from receiving more of the Spirit. Another barrier may be your busyness. Super duper busy people probably aren't going to be people who are filled, because there's times where you got to spend time just being with God so you can be refilled. Maybe it's your denominational barrier. You came from a different denomination and you've never heard these teachings before. And I want to let you know, these aren't Assembly of God teachings. They are, but more importantly, they're Bible teachings. Are you hearing me this morning? They're Bible teachings, and there's times where we're just, our denominations, they cause a barrier because we heard their doctrine for so long, and that now that causes a barrier. And what I want to do is I want to challenge you is just to actually be like Chris Hodges, as I heard his testimony this week, and say, I don't care what my denomination says. I'm going to open my Bible for myself. Is everybody hearing me? There's a time where you got to open your Bible for yourself and let God speak to you through his word. Maybe your barrier is doubt. You doubt that there's more. I want to let you know, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to doubt and say, that's just the way I am. You don't have to doubt and say, that's how I'm going to live. And there's people here, you have fear. What's it going to look like? What will it really look like if I, what will it look like? It's fearful. What will it look like? Will I be weird if I'm filled with the Spirit? I wouldn't say weird. I would say effective. Are you interested in being effective? Used by God. So there's barriers. If you're serious about wanting to live like this, there's going to be barriers. In my life, the barrier is busyness. Busy church everything. Now, I almost said this week, Lord, I'm almost sick of church. I'm all into you. You know what I'm talking about. And God, I want everything you have. If it's on the menu, give it to me, because I want to be the person you want me to be. You got to remove the barriers. I don't know what your barrier is. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Here's the second thing you need to do is you just simply need to say, you request the gift of the Holy Spirit. Just request it. Look what Jesus says. He says this. He says, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Everybody say the word, ask. And I know you guys are really intelligent people. And I know there's people in this room, because I can read your mind as I read your eyes, and you're saying, well, don't you get all the Holy Spirit at salvation? Well, I want to let you know, regardless of when you believe you get the Holy Spirit, the passage still says you got to be repeatedly filled, okay? Regardless of when you get filled, it needs to be reoccurring in your life. It needs to be happening all the time. And so there's times you just got to say, God, give me, fill me today, fill me fresh today with your Spirit. I need to ask, I need to ask, I need to ask. Then here's the big step, and it's fearful for a lot of people, is you need to receive him by faith. It's going to take faith, meaning there's going to maybe a step that you have to take that's a little scary. I have found out when God wants to do some things in my life, it's going to be a little scary. It's going to be some unknown territory where I've never been before, and it's going to be a little scary. I don't think it's any different. Sometimes when we're asking, we got to maybe step out. Step out and maybe go to a prayer meeting. Step out and read your word. Step out and say, God, I'm just here to wait. I'm going to sit here and wait till I feel like your presence just comes upon me. You got to step out. And then here's the fourth and final thought of our series is this. You got to relate to the Holy Spirit daily. He's a person. I want to let you know, you can walk down the sidewalk and say, Holy Spirit, you can have a relationship that's ongoing with the Holy Spirit. Is everybody hearing me? I think we need to get out of this mindset that the Holy Spirit's only for Sunday morning from 9:30 to 10:30, and then we'll see you next week. How many people know that's tragic? Now, how many people know the Holy Spirit loves you and he goes where you're at? He goes with you. That's why Jesus said to the disciples, it's better that I go away, because now I send an advocate, one just like me. He won't only be with you, he'll be in you, he'll go wherever you go, because he wants to empower you to live. Amen? Amen. Amen. I just wanted to let you know, in this whole series, we're not talking about being weird. We're talking about being powerful. I'm not into weirdness. That's why I've kind of stepped away from it for a while, because I grew up in weirdness. And then God's been convicting me, well, have you stepped away from power? And I'm thinking, no, God, I need more power than ever before. You're calling me to greater things. And that's why I'm saying we need the Holy Spirit, because I want this to be a church filled with people who are walking in the power, who are making a difference wherever they go. In your neighborhood, your marriages are working better because you have the Holy Spirit that's helping you. He'll lead you into truth. He'll give you everything you need. So I just want to assure everybody today, we're not stepping into weirdness. Does everybody shake their head? We're not stepping into weirdness. We're stepping into what God wants for us. And if God wants something for you, I just want us to say, God, it's on the menu. Give me what's on the menu. I want everything you have. And I just want to encourage you. So this is what I want to do. Can we stand to our feet? I want to close with this prayer. You can bow your heads. I'm going to keep my eyes open so I can read the prayer. Paul prays this for the church in Corinth. He says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. How many people are thankful for the amazing grace of Jesus? Amen. It saves you from your sins. And he says, the extravagant love of God. How many people are thankful for his love? It's a love that's unconditional. It's not based upon your performance. You may have messed up to this point. Today is a new day. And then he says this. Look at what he says. He prays for the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And I want to let you know that's what I desire for me, Nolan, Grant, Heather, you, is that we'll walk in this intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would come and be at work in individual lives and families. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that we will be a church that will just, we won't be afraid of these things, but we will embrace these things in this church. We'll embrace the person of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. And amen.